when we have really big fears, really big hurt, really big frustration, often men become really, really hyper angry, right? Mm-hmm. Or they shut down, stonewall, right? Mm-hmm. So we have these dysfunctional ways of emotionally regulating. But if we learn how to express ourselves with the people that are safe, with our partners and with our children, like not only are we modeling for the children effective ways of dealing with what we feel, but we're also selfishly, it's like, I feel better.
Hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to my podcast, Renew Motherhood. My name is Blanca Falk. I'm the host of this podcast, and this episode is about fatherhood. I'm so excited to have someone here who is talking about being a dad. And this episode is actually what makes a father truly powerful. So I'd like to welcome you, Ryan Allen. And yes, tell us a little about you, please. Who are you? What have you done so far?
Yeah. So my name's Ryan. I have a 19-month-old daughter named Lila Rose. And I would say I've led a rather bohemian life up to the last few years. And I made a big shift from being an actor and an artist and kind of living this very carefree life. That was a lot of fun. I had all these really lovely experiences, very spiritual kind of existence. But I wasn't really hooked into the world in a really concrete way that allowed me to make a big difference or big impact or really kind of deepen my experience of life, my experience of people. So I was living in a very, I was very in the moment, but it was a little Peter Pan. It was a little always being a boy and having fun. And over the past 7 years, 8 years, I got married, we bought a house. We've had a child. I've gone back to school, completed a master's degree in coaching and leadership. I'm getting a doctorate. And so I've spent a lot of time and effort grounding myself and becoming someone who can work hard and in addition to play. And so that's kind of where I'm coming to fatherhood from, is this kind of fresh adulthood that I've kind of created for myself. And yeah, I'm a coach, and I help people become more of who they could be and fulfill their potential. And I've done a lot of that work myself, so it's cool work to do. I'm grounded in sort of developmental psychology and neuroscience, so I'm able to bring that perspective to my parenting style as well, which has really been a huge gift.
Yes, this sounds just amazing. I love this, especially the neuroscience and psychology part, because I think if we can really apply those things that come from science, and it's not taught in school, and parents usually don't know about this, and so, but if we can integrate this in our lives, parenting becomes much easier, and you know what you're doing, right? Yeah. You get more confident. You can expect certain things, I would say. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would say that, like, I don't know. Obviously, so I'm a new dad. I've been at this almost 2 years. I have one child, so it's limited data set here. But I would say,
okay,
you know, like in my personal experience, it's doing really the social emotional work on myself that I needed to do prior to having a kid really made it much easier to, because your child is always going to trigger you, because there are things that happen in your own childhood that you carry around with you that are unresolved, and you bring that to your relationship with your child. And so there's nothing really that you can do to prepare for that, I don't think, fully, because there's just nothing quite so urgent as your child crying, or, you know, as the relationship. And so no matter how much work you do on yourself, parenthood is always going to be a crucible and a challenge. And so am really grateful for all the work I did to learn how to self-regulate, to learn kind of more healthy coping mechanisms for when I'm feeling afraid or hurt or frustrated. And even so, parenting a small child is really a profound emotional challenge. And part of it is because they have no capacity for auto-regulation. They have no ability to self-regulate what they feel. And so you have to be their regulatory system for a while until they learn those skills. And if you don't have them, you better learn them fast.
Yes, that's so true.
So,
okay, yeah.
And as you know, it's like we've been through some like really tough nights, you know, and I've been through some really challenging, personally, some really challenging emotional experiences that seemed really scary to me in the moment, because I still had gaps in my own ability to regulate myself. So, you know, there are mistakes that I made that in the moment that I have learned from, and also learned to like release and let go of, because the child is very, very resilient. And just kind of what you're that you talked about attention earlier, and it's like the number one thing that the child needs in order to develop self-organize is attendance, is they just need you to be like be with them. And there's an element of like, it's like food, it's like sleep, it's like nourishment. They need your attention, because what they're doing is they're borrowing your activity. They're when the baby is close with the mother breastfeeding, it strengthens the regulation of the heartbeat. They borrow the frontal lobe activity of the parent when we're close with them, when they're really upset, when they're totally dysregulated and more angry than anyone has ever been and more upset than anyone has ever been. They're actually borrowing your brain activity to help them learn how to calm and soothe themselves. And so it's
I love that you talk about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so important. Great.
And so it's just like the proximity and like being with just what you talked about kind of before we started the call about the like you set a lot of your life and how it had been aside so that you could really be with your kids early in their development. And it's that those first 5 years are so key for that.
Right.
And it's like, and that's we get reflected constantly from our friends and people who meet Lila. It's like, wow, she's so advanced. Like she's so playful. She's learning so much. It's because we've given her that nourishment. Like we've taken a lot of time to be with her, that she's developing as quickly as she can, because she has all the juice that she needs to really excel and fly and become who she could be.
Great. Oh, I love to hear this. Yes, that's wonderful. So what would you say, what's the biggest lie society tells men about fatherhood, and how do we break free from it?
Yeah, I'd say this is changing quite a bit, but I think it I'm going to go off on a little tangent and then come back around.
Okay.
So gender roles. It's funny. My wife and I have always had a really egalitarian view of gender roles, and really like it's important to us that we share the load, and like I do a lot of housework and she earns a lot of money, and so we've distributed that role responsibility. But it's funny how much pressure that comes under when you have a child and breastfeeding is what you've chosen, because it really reinforces this like dad has to be on going and making sure that everything works around the dyad of mom and child, because mom has to dedicate a lot of time and energy and focus and attention to developing the child, to providing the child attention, nourishment, and also physical nourishment and touch. And so there's this, if you decide to breastfeed, it becomes really obvious why we divided up those responsibilities culturally. And and so I think that one of the challenges then is, as the child develops, to not get stuck in those roles where mom's always taking care of the baby and attending to the child, and dad is always doing other things like just making sure the rest of the life in the house and the money and all that stuff works. That I think, especially in today's day and age where we're evolving in our expectations of men and women, that especially as we're bringing children into the world, that we honor both what they need and the natural kind of consequences of that, and also making sure that we don't get stuck fulfilling on those roles when they when that no longer becomes strictly necessary. Like right now, Lila's 19 months old and we're still breastfeeding, so she still has important time with mom. You know, it's overnights are still tough, you know, because we haven't night weaned yet. So there are ways in which that role responsibility is still distributed, but also I'm taking care of her in the morning and making her breakfast and so I'm making sure that I have time that I'm giving to her to attend to her. Because it would be very easy for me in my cultural role as man to kind of be separate from them and to continue to like reinforce that divide. And I think this is something that millennial fathers are going through right now, is navigating, how do I navigate the traditional values of the culture that my parents and their parents kind of brought down and used, with this new worldview that's a product of the kind of cultural revolution and you know, everything that we're going through right now. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Oh, I love that you talk about this. Yeah, that's amazing. And I think that's so true. I have experienced the same. So I was, working as a tax consultant before and did a lot of money. And but then it became a mother and everything changed. And we really had to decide, okay, what life do we choose, really? What do we want? And it's not, I don't like the word role. I am in a mother role. I would always say it's a position that I took. And this, from this position of motherhood, I would say, yes, of course. I'm breastfeeding. I'm spending so much time and everything on the outside is just putting pressure on myself. And I'm not able to do my job as a mom to connect really if the father is not taking responsibility and says, I'm taking this away from you so you can do yours and I'm taking the rest. And I think that's so beautiful to say we're together, but on another level as parents together. And each of us is taking the responsibility for the part nature is giving you. And it's not a role the women have to be in the kitchen and the fathers have to go out and... It's not. It seems from the outside, but inside, if you can feel it, it just feels completely different, I think.
Yeah. And I think it's something I had a lot of judgments about before I actually experienced it. And there's been a lot of cognitive dissonance about like, I thought we were past this. I thought we were beyond. I thought we'd have evolved beyond this. Mm-hmm. But the truth is we haven't. And so it's like.
Yes, women still get the babies.
It's tough and it's fucking hard and it's not fair, you know. It isn't fair and it's like that's painful to deal with the reality of that. So
so I love the discussion. What's one thing you do every day as a father that your child will remember forever? What would you say? Is there something special that you do?
I don't know what she's going to remember and what she's not, you know?
No.
I can't imagine. I think we do a lot of singing in our home. And so we have little songs that help us mark kind of new, like an activity or transition. And I have a bedtime song that I sing to her, and we have a goodbye song we say when we're saying goodbye. And so I think I'm such a melodic person in terms of like my day-to-day experience of life. I really use melody and song for myself in order to kind of like, it's part of like emotional coping. It's part of like helping me kind of like just kind of be a human. And so I hope that she takes some of that and has some fond memories of singing as a child and being sung to.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Probably she has.
Yeah.
Because if everything that goes to the emotional part, this is stored inside of your body, right? Mm. So she will remember and she will have a good look at this. So I think that's just beautiful. How does being vulnerable in front of your child make you a stronger father? What would you say?
There's a preconceived notion in
Because
that
I
question.
always think, okay, vulnerability for men is different.
Yeah, and I think that's something to address in this question is that like that, and I get kind of tender thinking about this, that it's a very brittle experience to withhold vulnerability, to be alone in what we feel is actually it's a very weak thing because it means that while we're protected from the consequences of feeling, how to talk about this? Because part of what this is it's very difficult to understand why being vulnerable is powerful, is strong, and because so much we talked about the role of man is to be kind of like a tribe facing for unit for the family. So there's this expectation of men that we need to present this shield in order to protect the family, to protect the people we love from the outside. And so there's this masking. It's part of why I think we have beards, right? Is I can hide so much of what I feel behind a beard so that you can't see it. And so we kind of need, as men, we need to work against this because if we have, it's part of that co-regulation thing. It's like if we fail to learn skills that allow us to share and co-regulate with the people we love, then when times get really hard, we break because we don't have the skills that we need in order to share and co-regulate with others. When we have really big fears, really big hurt, really big frustration, we become, often men become really, really hyper angry, right? Or they shut down Stonewall. Right. So we have these dysfunctional ways of emotionally regulating. But if we learn how to express ourselves with the people that are safe, with our partners and with our children, then not only are we modeling for them, like not only are we modeling for the children effective ways of dealing with what we feel, but we're also selfishly, it's like I feel better when I can express myself cleanly and move through the feelings and come out the other side, because that's how we grow, is actually by expressing ourselves and moving through what we feel. If we hold on to what we feel and we bottle it up, we limit our motion. We can't move, and so we stay the same. We stay stuck, not expressing something. And that's a dangerous thing to do. That's dangerous for your body. It's not good for your body, and it's not good for your
Suppressing the
relationships.
emotions.
Yeah. So learning those skills is really, that's sort of the what was implicit in your question is the assumption that being vulnerable is strong. And that's why I think men need to hear a little bit more about why, because it sounds counterintuitive. It's because it's like, oh, being afraid, being hurt is weak. That's bad. So I shouldn't. But actually being and expressing fear and hurt, getting support allows us to become more resilient and become stronger.
Yes, so wonderful. Thank you very much for sharing your perspective here.
Yeah.
Because I think this is so important. And dealing with emotions is always a tough thing. Like you, I think we talked about this before our call a little to what we experienced in our own childhood from our parents, we are still carrying. And if these emotions didn't ever come up and you get a child, you have the ability to heal those emotions because your child is just picking up this one that you always wanted to suppress. You didn't like to look at it, but it's like they have a job here to really to heal us, to make us stronger, and as a dad, the same as the mom. So I think this is so wonderful that you talk about this. Being vulnerable for men, for dads, is also so important.
Yeah.
If you could go back and give one piece of advice to yourself before becoming a dad, what would it be? You changed a lot. You came from, okay, let's play a little, let's just have those fun time like a boy. And then you said, okay, I have to ground myself now. I have to settle down, or not to settle down to say, okay, I'm not moving, but just to ground yourself. So I think, yes.
Yeah,
Is there anything?
it's funny. I'm just gonna finally turn off the baby monitor here. It's funny. I'm not sure I could have heard any advice I would give myself now. I think some of the most important lessons I've learned have come through confronting my daughter, like being with what she's feeling, being like she's having these really intense emotions, and they're emotions that I was not permitted as a baby. Like I do lab work where I have a social emotional intelligence lab that I belong to, and we go in and we have these really kind of deep expressive release experiences. And I've had several experiences recently as my kind of emotional work has been deepening, where I've been getting back in touch with like the fear I felt as a, as a 10-month-old when I couldn't sleep and mommy and daddy needed to go to sleep, and I was so scared because they were so scary. And I didn't know what to do. And so I'm just not sure that any advice that I could have given myself would have prepared me for that moment where I would, And so I, th but, and I think the work that I did going up to that. So I think any advice I would give myself is really just a repetition of what we were just talking about, that like it's so important to be close with the people you love and to be able to feel and attend to what you're feeling and to be able to share that with someone else. That's like that's the most important thing you can do as a man in order to be a better husband and a better father and a better like human being, is to like get in touch with what you're feeling, be able to articulate for yourself what you're feeling and be able to express that with someone. And that those are some of the skills that I think are really missing for men in general, and for me particularly, a kind of coming into fatherhood.
So what I hear is really that you say you can't prepare for this, and even if you knew about this, it would have been difficult to adapt it, because you need to have the experience really that clears everything, that makes everything open, and you have to act on this, what's happening, right? Would you
Yeah.
say this?
Yeah,
Okay,
there's no substitute for the stimulus of the crying infant. Like, there's nothing
No.
that's the same. There's nothing like that.
That's right. Yeah, so true. Okay, so let's move on. So what would you say, what is a dad habit that you've adopted that you wish more fathers knew about? Is there anything? Would you say, okay?
Yeah, I think like making sure that you have special time with your child, that like make sure that you have special time, and when you're having your special time, that it's child-directed time, that they're the ones leading, so you're not always the one teaching and telling and showing and doing for them, that they have an opportunity to connect with you where they're in charge for a little bit, and they get to tell you, they get to show you things, and they get to tell you what to do. And that is not only really fun and cathartic because it's kind of silly, and they get the opportunity to work their stuff out where you're missing them and you don't know where you're missing them, where they, it's kind of an extension of play where the child's drive for play comes out of things that they have unfulfilled in their life, that they need their imagination in order to bridge the gap between what they can do and what they want to be able to do. And that giving them time to play in their relationship with you helps them work out any lingering hurt feelings and fears and resentments, that they actually use play to resolve those feelings with you. And if you remain open to them and what they want to play about, they won't carry around resentments of you. And so your relationship will stay a little more open and clear than it otherwise would. And when they're teenagers or when they're adults, they won't have things that they've withheld from you because you never really let them express themselves. At least that's what I'm working on. That's what I'm hoping will happen. Yeah.
Yes, it definitely will, because I've gone through this, and I can say yes, because I really, we played a lot, and it was completely new for me, because when I don't have siblings and I was not playing a lot as a child, and this is a complete new situation for me to really to go down and play. And I was thinking, okay, so I just let my child play with me, and she was talking who is doing what and where to place what, and to create this whole image of a game, and just always invited me, okay, mom, you have to do this now. It's so wonderful if you can dive into her world and see what's happening and what she's expressing and where she has her struggles with. And so you can support your child better. Because she's always showing this inside of the game where she's at.
Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty. If you can, yes, put your adult side aside and dive into the game.
And because all of the relationships they have in their life with friends, with coworkers, with bosses, with their romantic partners will be modeled after these foundational relationships with you and your partner. And so they're learning how to relate to people. And so if always you're one up, one down, and you're the superior and you're in charge, then they learn that they're little and they're inferior and they can't do anything. But if you give them opportunities to be equals, to be in charge, to be directive, then they learn that there's a to and fro, that it's not always one up, one down, that there's a balance and that they have power in relationship. And that is really that when they get, you know, when they get into school, when they get into relating with peers, when they get into relating to other partners, when they look for work, they're going to be coming from such a different position than they would if you taught them that they didn't know anything and that they always needed to listen and never teach.
Right. Yeah, so true. They need to be seen. They need to be heard, right, as a child. So, and if they can experience this, it becomes much easier later. They have grounded somehow. And if they have their safe space where they can develop, we always think we have to put something inside because they come with nothing, but that's not true, right? Yeah. They come with so much inside, and we just have to let them develop, I would always say. So that's my thought. And so far, everything was good. I don't know for the future, but so far, I would say, yeah.
That's I like it. That a lot.
Oh, yeah. So what's a moment with your child that completely changed the way you see fatherhood? Is there anything you can think about?
I mean, the moment...
What you thought about how fatherhood should be or would be, and then you drop into the situation and think it's completely different.
I mean, just the instant. So we had a home birth. She was born. We sang a song we'd been singing to her in the womb and connected with her. And then midwives were like, okay, Elizabeth, you have to go pee now because we can't leave until you pee. Essentially, that was just like, it was first for whatever. Anyway, Elizabeth had to go and be by herself for a little while. And the midwife was like, you know, you can hold her. You can hold the baby. And I was like, what? Like, I can hold. So I picked her up. I picked her up for the first time, and she looked me in the eyes and smiled at me. And I was just like, wow. Like, I didn't realize I could be this in love. I didn't realize that I could love someone this much. Like, you know, I'd had love in romantic partnerships, my whole adult life. I'd had these really lovely relationships. I have a really beautiful relationship with my wife now, and we love one another so much. And I'd never had a feeling quite like this one. And I was just like, oh, okay, so you're perfect. And all I'm going to do is fuck you up. And I have to be okay with this. I have to be okay with this.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's it. Really. I can totally agree with this. If you have got your baby the first time and look at the eyes, and it's just a moment full of love. pure love, I would say. Yeah, that's so wonderful. Oh, thank you for sharing your moments here. What would you say on the opposite? What's the hardest part about being a dad that nobody warns you about?
I think, again, I think we hear about, it's almost a cliche that, like, oh, your life is going to completely change, and like, oh, get ready to, you know, it's like there are so many sacrifices that you don't realize you're going to need to make. There are so many sacrifices in terms of, like, in terms of your physical comfort, in terms of like this little child comes first, like this little for a time, they can't survive without you. You need to be there. You need, and so I think there's a reality to that that you can't prepare for, and and that the sacrifice, and that you really do. I needed to be so discerning about what matters now. What do I need to keep for myself? What do I have to keep and hold on to and protect for myself, for my own sanity, for my own sense of who I am? Because I need to sacrifice a lot of who I was in order to be a dad, in order to fulfill my new responsibility. It's like no more screwing around on Instagram for 3 hours. No more, you know, no more
sacrifice.
No more hours of video games. No more, you know, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Like no, you know, you can still get to, you can make time for martial arts, but you're going to have to choose martial arts or, you know, Dungeons and Dragons with the friends, or, you know, you have to make some careful sacrifices about, I used to do five things. Now I can do two things. I have time to do two things really well. What are those two things going to be?
That's great.
Yeah. And it
setting, it's like setting priorities, right?
Yeah.
In another way, it's more serious, really. Not only, okay, I can choose this, I can choose that, but to really say, okay, what's it now?
Yeah. Cause it's, I have my relationship with my body, right? I've got to maintain some kind of relationship with my body where I'm moving and feeling good. And especially, you know, now I'm in my mid thirties, testosterone starts to drop off, pain starts to come in, the sleeplessness, you know? So it's like, I've got to do something to take care of my body. I've got to do something to take care of my sense of my relationship with myself and who I am outside of being a dad, outside of the role of fatherhood, outside of the role of of the work that I do. So it's like, okay, so I need some time to be with myself, to work on something that matters to me, so I'm forwarding my own dreams. So what's that going to be? And now there's additional financial pressure to really make my business work. So I've got to buckle down on that and build that even as I'm expanding my responsibility as a dad. So it's like there's relationships, friends I no longer see, you know, like activities I no longer engage in that I enjoyed, people I liked, things I enjoyed doing. But there's simply no space for them because of these more urgent, important commitments that I have.
Yes, great. But it's always only a phase, right? So who knows what will be in 5 years? Who knows what will be in 10 years?
Yeah.
And so if you think about this, okay, it's just now for a special time. Yeah. And after this, we will see what's developing then, what comes then, what's the next best thing to do. I think that's one wonderful. I really loved this. What's one thing moms should know about how dads experience parenting and vice versa?
Yeah, I think I think it's really difficult for fathers to understand the sacrifices that women need to make in order to have and raise children. I think it's just difficult to experientially. It's so different, even through pregnancy, through birth, through the first trimester of life. Like, it's very difficult for men to really understand what women are going through because our physical experiences are so different. So I think, like, continuing to both mom and dad need to continue to work to understand one another. And I think on the flip side of that, that I think because the sacrifices that women need to make are so great and so painful in a lot of cases, so sensational, so experiential, that the sacrifices men need to make are... there are these two things, right? They're less intense, just objectively. Like the sacrifices men need to make in order to have a child are way different than the sacrifices women need to make. But men do need to make sacrifices, and so it is hard. And so there's I think, a compassion for men that is sometimes missing. It's like because of how intense motherhood is, that it's like, oh, fatherhood, like whatever. So I think men really need to strive to understand and to be compassionate for what women are going through and not dismiss what the sacrifices women need to make. And I think the reverse is also true, that women need to be compassionate for men as well and the sacrifices men need to make, because they are
different. What I always think about is to really stay open, remain open for the other part. Because if you have got your box, your thinking in this way and are not open, you cannot feel what it means, or you cannot experience, or you cannot get into an exchange with your partner, right?
Yeah.
So, and you always have got this block around you or between you, but this shouldn't be, I always think. If we can just break this down and say, hey, we are parents, we are in a relationship, we go this life together, let's find out who is who and what's your part, what's my part, and how can we like dance together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's wonderful. If your child could describe you in one sentence when she grows up, what do you hope she would say?
Yeah, that I think really simply that, like, I love my dad.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's the top of it, right?
Yeah.
Nothing can be better than these words.
Yeah.
Wow, what an incredible interview.
Thank you. That was really a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yes, let's talk about if people say, oh, who is Ryan? I love to get in contact. What is your offer? What do you offer for people who say, oh, he's amazing. I need to know more. I need to... coached, be working together somehow. What's your offer? Where can people find you?
Yeah, so you can find me through my website. I have a web form you can fill out if you'd like to talk. I love connecting with people, even if you just want to reach out and say hi. I love talking with people. I do one-on-one coaching. I'm working on developing a group coaching thing. When there's enough interest in that, I'll start that. But in the meantime, if you just want to reach out and say hi, I'd love to connect.
Great. Wonderful. So I will place everything in the description and people can get in contact with you.
Cool.
So wonderful. Thank you very much for our lovely conversation.
Yeah. Thank you, Blanca.
And yes, for being my guest. Okay. So all the listeners, please stay tuned, subscribe, and yes, we will see us.